Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are
East-West
Audio Body Shop. Well, we have a very special program coming up for you this Monday night. Two great friends of ours, some of the nicest people in the business, and they're musicians. Rosie and Brian Amador will be joining us from Boston, Massachusetts, under 20 feet of snow. But they'll be here talking about their bilingual business, how they share a studio and do all this stuff as a couple, and they're going to play some music for us.
I lied about not having more footage from NAMM. I have more footage from NAMM, so there'll be a couple more product highlight videos for you guys to check out. Just the cool stuff that I've cherry-picked for you.
Oh, I love seeing that. And we'll answer your questions, and you can ask them by writing to ewebshop@gmail.com. We'll see you, East West Audio Body Shop, 6 o'clock in the West,
9 o'clock in the East.
And we'll see all of you in the chat room. And we'll see all of you there.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none.
He's a voice actor and a home studio master hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched.
When Dan and George talk shop, people listen. And the talk continues tonight.
Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop.
East West Audio Body Shop is brought to you by
Edge Studio, providers of voiceover education, production, and technology.
Harlan Hogan's Voiceover Essentials, products hand-picked for voice actors.
VoiceZam, a totally unreal demo player for voiceover professionals.
The Home Studio Master, get a handle on your professional voiceover studio.
And VoiceOver Extra, your one-stop resource for voiceover success.
And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica
and his penthouse studio in Buffalo,
here are George Whittam
and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. For the time being, anyway. All righty, we have a fabulous show tonight, as we do every week, as I say every week, because we haven't failed to have a fabulous show in almost 4 years.
That's right. Everyone's been gold.
That's right. Absolute gold. Mm-hmm. Ka-ching. Tonight, we've got a great, great guests, some really great friends of mine, Rosie and Brian Amador, joining us from Boston, Massachusetts. We're going to have some great fun with them, learning about the unique kind of stuff that they do. We've got the news. We've got more stuff from NAMM. We've got some music. What else could you ask for on a chilly night in the Northeast and apparently just a fine day in the Southwest of our country? Anyway, but to get things going.
Time now to take a look at the news. EWAB's News.
In our first story tonight, yes, George and I will be attending WovoCon April 17th through 19th at the Hilton Lake Las Vegas in Henderson, Nevada. Gorgeous place. If you're a member of WoVo and you haven't decided to go, too late. You've got to go. It isn't too late, actually. You can still sign up. You can come. You can have a great time with us as we plan the future of our business there. We're going to totally take over. Not completely, but who knows. But we're going to both be there. And if you sign up and get your registration, and if you're a member of World Voices Organization before February 28th, $50 off. Well worth it. That's 50 bucks more that you can put on, you know, on the blackjack table. Anyway, you can sign up at worldvo.org/events/WovoCon-II/.
I think the last forward slash is optional, but
you can see
what happens. On February 25th, we'll have a meet and greet at Edge Studio with snacks and beverages. I'll be in New York. I'm flying out there tomorrow. Then I'll be in New York City Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And on the Wednesday night, if you want to come out, we'd love for you to RSVP. It's nice so that we can get an idea how much stuff to buy. You can RSVP on the website. And here's another nice long domain name to write down. info.edgestudio.com/RSVP-George-Widom-meet-greet. Got it?
Why don't you just put that up there? Make it a lot easier for people.
I know.
It'll be in the show notes, too.
Yeah, anyway. But if you can come, it'd be a lot of fun. It'll be me just hanging out with everybody at the studio. You get to see our beautiful, amazing studio in Midtown Manhattan. And pick my brain for a while. Should be fun.
That could be messy. Right. Let's see. What else we got going on? The Verge. Now, who is The Verge, George? Just quickly.
Well, they're a huge tech journal, tech blog. The Verge.
The Verge says that Apple will be offering free repairs on 2011 through 2013 MacBook Pros with video issues. That's good, because I was just about to drop my MacBook Pro just to see what would happen with that. Are they having problems with video issues? Anyway, but they're gonna be fixing those free and reimbursements to those who have already paid for repairs. Find out if you're covered if you've been having video issues at https://. I should just do this with a sword. That would make it a lot better. selfsolve.apple.com/, this is a long word, agreement, warranty with a capital W, dynamic with a capital D, .do.
And by the way, domain names do not care about caps. You don't have to worry about the caps. Agreement, warranty, I use that crazy link because it's the only way to get directly to the information. Otherwise, you have to go through Apple's crazy website to find it. So,
okay.
I've heard of a lot of people with video issues, and on that on 2011s particularly. But apparently, it spanned 3 model years. And when Apple admits they have a problem and offers to repair it, that must mean it's more than a handful of people. So,
apparently.
You know what? Over the years, I've had great luck with Apple repairing things that are out of warranty, and this is one of those cases where they do that. It's pretty amazing.
Me too. Especially with battery issues and all sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah, it's usually MacBook Pros, so that's another story. From VoiceOver Extra, there was a story about the fact that Edge Studio has some new coaches added to the staff. So some of the people we've added to the staff this year are Rachel Butera, who's teaching animation, accents, and voice matching. Arthur Insana, who's teaching audiobooks. Joe Lesh, our buddy Joe Lesh. He'll be teaching commercial animation and audiobooks. Suzanne Pinedo is our education advisor. She's new to the staff. She's really, really, really sweet lady. Chris Smith is teaching animation and video games. Haley Wallace is education advisor as well, working with Suzanne. And Simone Fugil, teaching Spanish voiceover. So an amazing array of talent that we've added to our staff. That puts us well over, I think, 30 coaches now working at Edge.
Wow.
Pretty awesome.
How do they fit them all in there at one time?
I know. It's pretty remarkable. But I think that...
And that's a look at the E-Web's news.
Is the end of the news.
Okay, good. All righty. Well... Now, there's this thing here. It says something really cool to demonstrate acoustical effects of different spaces.
Yeah, we can push that to later in the show if we don't want to fill time. That's kind of I would say it's a time filler, but it is really, really
cool. We don't have a whole lot of time to fill.
No, it's a busy show tonight. I'll move it to the end in case we have time, but it is freaking cool.
Okay.
That's all I got to say.
Very cool. And remember, folks, acoustics is 90% of the quality of your audio.
That's
and
right.
To that, we come into our Q&A for this week. And we actually have a question here from somebody on SpeakPipe.
Oh, cool.
KD's actually called into our official number for asking questions
and
asked this question.
All right. Let me play that here. Just got to push that button and push this one.
Hi, guys. I'm new to voiceover, and I've been recording in a walk-in closet in an upstairs bedroom. My office where I do editing is downstairs. Editing in the closet's not really an option. I would like to be doing everything in one place, but I can't afford to purchase a sound booth right now. My office is about 10 by 10, and I'm adding some Oralex acoustic foam to improve the sound floor. In one corner of my office is a small bay area with three double-pane windows. I live out in the woods with no traffic or noise from neighbors, except for occasional coyote howling. I can record either facing toward or away from the windows. Do you have any recommendations for acoustic treatment for the windows? I don't have any curtains on them right now. Or is this a big enough problem I should just stay in the closet and get lots of exercise going up and down the stairs?
That's a great question.
That's a great way to end that.
It is. Wonderful question, man. That's what I love getting those speak pipe recordings because they sound really good.
She sounds pretty good. I think she'll do just fine in the business. Has a good presence to her.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I mean, well, there's two points there. I mean, and George and I could both address these. Mm-hmm. Should she stay in the closet? Well, that's what XLR cables are for. You know, it's you may not want to, you know, you may want to not edit in the same place and you record. I certainly don't. I mean, you want to be able to concentrate on what you're doing one thing at a time. And sometimes it's best to totally disassociate yourself with all the gear that's around you and go hide in your closet. Sometimes it's best to get away, even if it's far away. If you've got enough cable to get your mic down into your closet somewhere that's big enough and is easier to acoustically treat, that's a great place to do that because it's going to be quieter in a closet. It is much easier to acoustically treat. You know, here in my office, you can hear I'm in an office. I've got acoustical panels in here, but it's still a lot of hard surfaces and stuff. And that's actually what if she was recording that from her office where she's planning on doing that, you can hear what the acoustical environment was like. Jorge?
Yeah, I mean, you can work in either space with, as long as, I usually tell people the space you're going to concentrate on the most is probably going to be whatever is the quietest space. It's hardest to get rid of background noise. It's a lot easier to make a room sound less reverby, less echoey, as I was demonstrating the echo earlier. It's a lot easier to make a room less echoey, less reverby. It's a lot harder to make the room quieter. So if you're working in the closet because it's the quietest space, it's the only room you can find that's quiet, then it makes sense to keep doing kind of what you're doing. But if you can make that other, if the other room is quiet enough, draperies, nice, heavy blackout curtains. You can find them on Amazon, not expensive. Drape over those windows so they don't echo anymore. And some moving blankets tacked up on the walls. You can make a little frame out of PVC pipe, as Dannon has demonstrated on the show at least once or twice. You can make a frame and hang some blankets up very, very quickly and easily and create a pretty acoustically dead or neutral sounding space. So it's up to you. You can try both. You can try switching off. I know people that have a booth, but they sometimes sit and work outside the booth at their desk, even though it's not quite as quiet. They know there's certain sessions that they can kind of get away from it or get away with it, I should say. And it gives them a different space to be in. It's more comfortable. You're not always in the booth. So, you know, variety can be the spice of life.
Yeah, I do it all the time. My booth is right behind me here, way on the other side of my palatial estate here. and then I've got my broadcast mic right here, which I can use and throw into my mix whenever I want to do that.
Right.
You know, sometimes it calls for a different mic and that's, you know, so you can do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think if you're just starting out, perhaps not good to be distracted by all the stuff, all the technical stuff and just concentrate on one thing at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
Sometimes
we get ahead of ourselves with the technology solution. Sometimes simple. Well, a lot of times simpler is better.
Yeah. I'm like that with coffee, you know.
Right. Bill Lord says, do you gentlemen have any advice regarding mic placement? Is there a perfect place to put the mic before opening your mouth?
In front of your mouth, preferably, which is a perfect lead in for what I've got going on Thursday night, which is we've got the ultimate mic choice webinar from VoiceOver Extra. You can still sign up for that over at voiceoverextra.com. And I'm going to announce ultimately, what is the best mic for voiceover?
That's a tall order.
It is, which is why I'm making a big deal out of it. But we're going to talk about how microphones work, what proper mic technique. I'll give you a little preview. Don't talk into the diaphragm of the microphone, because when you do that, especially if you don't know, if you're too close and you go, "Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers," you're going to get plosives.
Yeah, that one pops.
However,
up crazy.
If you have the microphone,
I'm sorry. Let me go full screen on you. There we go. Sorry. Okay, I had you split screen. Now that's better.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So if you have, I can even move the camera a little bit.
Too. Perfect.
If the diaphragm of the mic should really be right at the same level of the bridge of your nose or your eyes, which, by the way, amazingly, is the same height as your ears. Gee, who'd have thunk that one?
In most cases.
In most cases, yeah. I mean, there are some people with, slightly different oblong heads. But if you don't talk directly into the diaphragm, you're hearing me normally as I would in a conversation 5 to 7 inches away. And I can go, "Peter Piper picked a pack of pickled peppers while picking bananas," all day long, and we're not going to get any plosives. Yeah. I haven't been using a pop screen for years. I might on a 416 if I'm doing some close read or something like that, but the perfect attitude for a condenser mic is about there. Have your copy underneath, totally unobstructed, and that's proper mic technique. Dr. Lord.
Did you see the Grammys or the Oscars last night?
Of course I did.
Did you see Tim McGraw sing?
I was like, that is a Telefunken something or other.
That was an AKG C12, an original AKG C12, so it's vintage.
Like big mic.
Did you see the way it was placed? Now, he's a singer. He doesn't need to have it above him. He's not trying to read a script.
Right, but he wasn't close mic.
There was no pop screen. As I put it, though, he was flying without a net. But no pop screen on that mic. And you can see the diaphragm on that mic extremely easily. I mean, the diaphragm is very visible. Super, super easy to pop that mic. But because he was working at just the right angle so that he never had to worry about popping it, I mean, that's mic technique right there. I mean, that's real confidence in your skill with a microphone. And he's probably used that mic in the studio for a very long time. So he just knows that mic intimately well.
Yeah.
But that was really cool.
Good.
That was cool,
And it was a good song, too, which unfortunately didn't win for best song, which,
Well, the other one for best song was fantastic, too.
So. Yeah, that was very moving.
That was amazing.
And speaking of moving, we're going to move along here. If you have a question for us, because as you know, we love to talk home studio tech or personal studio tech. Here in East West Audio Body Shop, we're here to help you guys out, and we're happy to answer your questions. You can send them into ewabshop@gmail.com, and you too could have your question here on eWebs. Anyway, Brian and Rosie Almador coming up in just a couple of minutes. We've got some NAMM footage to look at quickly, and we'll be right back after this. We all agree that iTunes is one of the best ways to listen to music. Well, what if your voiceover demos could be presented the exact same way, where each clip inside your demo is listed as a clickable, playable track? Well, now you can, if your demo is presented with the interactive demo player only from VoiceXAM. In VoiceXAM, each track inside your demo is clearly titled for producers to view, select, and play. Now, we all know that producers will only listen to the first few tracks of your demos, right? But not on VoiceXAM. With VoiceXAM, producers can interact with your demo, clicking on what they want to hear. They'll stay longer, listening to all your voice work because they want to. Plus, with VoiceXAM's exclusive XAMtistics, you'll know exactly what they listen to, when, and for how long. So why not give producers a chance to hear all your voice work with VoiceXAM? Go to VoiceXAM.com and sign up now. Plus, get an exclusive 45-day trial when you use the promo code EWABS.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Okay, we're back here at East West Audio Body Shop. Who was the announcer for the Oscars last night?
Cedaring Fox,
I thought it was Cedaring Fox.
Working on to be a guest on the show soon.
Outstanding. We got to get her on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we actually sort of had her on before once.
Yeah.
I think before that's VoiceOver a couple of years ago.
That's right.
See, now we can actually talk about the show being a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
because, you know, in about 3 weeks will be our fourth anniversary doing this show. If you can believe that. This is episode 179. And, you know, I think you guys could probably, you know, get out of the chat room one of these days and, you know, and not necessarily hang in there all this time, but, you know, we do have lives. But we're trying to figure out some fun way to celebrate our fourth year of doing this show together. We had a great time last year over at Angangooza's house in Irvine, and the food was fabulous. But I'm going to be back east, and where are you going to be? You're going to be everywhere in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, tomorrow flying to Pennsylvania, then the next morning taking the train into New York, then taking the train back to Pennsylvania, then coming back, then 8 days later flying to Atlanta. Then I'll be for a VoiceOver Atlanta. Then I'll be flying from Atlanta to Louisville, Kentucky for Papa John's Pizza. And then from Papa John's, I'll be making my way back here again and then going to Vegas a week or so later. And then back, and then Vegas again, and then back.
You know, when you fly into Vegas, there's only one thing you hear. Do-do-do-do. Wheel of Fortune.
Ah! I'm not sure if I'll be flying or driving in this time, to be honest. Oh,
okay. Well, you still have to go in the airport and hear that.
But. Yeah, exactly. I'll go out of my way just to hear that.
Every time I land in McCarran Airport, I immediately pick up the phone and call Dave Courvoisier or text him going, I hate McCarran Airport. I'll just take a couple of quarters and go in there. All righty. A little bit more NAMM stuff, and then we'll try and get to Rosie and Brian here eventually.
I'll keep it short. I'm just going to run one video. The rest of them that I release will all be available on the Widom's World feed over at Edge Studios YouTube channel, guys. So. If you want to see absolutely everything that I did there, it will all be there eventually. But I picked this one out because, well, you know, we talk about the iPad a lot. We like to talk about what it's good for, what it's not good for. But there's one company making some pretty impressive software for the iPad for recording. And it really is like a full-blown DAW. It is no joke. So anyway, here's a little video. And thanks to Lee Pinney for cutting this together for me. Here we go.
Hey everybody, George Widom for Widom's World here at NAMM 2015, the last day. And we're picking up some really interesting vendors. This is a product I've known about for a while, but I'm really going to learn about it for the first time directly from the source. I'm with Corey from Wave Machine Labs, and he's got the Aria. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so we're introducing Aria Pro. Aria Pro brings a whole slew of new features. We finally have a full MIDI sequencer, 32 internal stereo buses for routing, aux tracks, and now from the original Aria, right now can do 48 tracks of simultaneous playback. Aria Pro moves into unlimited audio and MIDI track playback, as well as a huge new feature, which is transient detection and real-time warping. So there are more features in here than, you know, we were hoping to show, but it's we're in alpha right now. We're super excited, and it really moves us into a professional DAW on the iPad.
So what are some of the features that might be helpful for someone that maybe doesn't need the track count, but does need a lot of powerful processing?
Right.
Like I need to be able to fine-tune a downward expander at 10 dB with, you know, I need a little bump of EQ and a roll-up, that kind of stuff. Voice actors really need that kind of thing.
Right.
Can you do all that with this?
Yeah, so every copy of Aria comes with a PSP channel strip on every channel. It's the same sonic quality that you would expect from a great PSP plugin on any desktop DAW. There's a whole slew of other plugins available from FabFilter, FXpansion, and PSP through our online store, and it's the same exact sonic quality that you would get from any plugin on your DAW.
But out of the box, you get at least some basic processing?
You're getting basic processing, convolution, reverb, delay, chorus. Yeah, very basic processing, but the PSP channel strip is phenomenal.
Nice.
And in terms of doing recording, up to 2496 resolution, so it's going to sound crisp. It's going to be, you know, professional, standard.
The PSP processing is standard with this Pro version?
Yep.
That's built in.
That is part of it.
Oh, wow.
Killer.
Yeah, the channel strip on every channel, and it sounds fantastic.
Can you show me, so this is the mixing interface, can you show me the editing interface?
Yeah, absolutely. So you just hit the little waveform up there, and obviously you can see the new MIDI track, which is going to be new to a lot of our existing customers right now, with a full piano roll editor. It's going to come with all the MIDI tools that you would expect to have with any great DAW, you know, in comprehensive, zooming, it's all there. We kind of had to rethink the way to make it really intuitive for the touchscreen and make it smooth to go in line with Aurea, which is already really easy and nice to use.
How about if I want to edit one track with some real detail? Do you just double-click? How do you get
can,
on?
Well, you can zoom in there.
And zoom.
Or there's zoom buttons up in the top, but you can get right into the sample.
Oh, wow.
So it's sample accurate, you know.
Show me a basic edit. Say I want to take out, you know, a syllable or a mouth click or something right in the middle
absolutely.
Of the
so phrase. Right now we do have snapping on for our demo, but if you click up in the timeline bar, you see your timeline come up there. And as long as your region is highlighted, you can see the blue around there. All you do is hit split, and there you go. And now you just made a new region. Just grab that, and let's see. See if I can get it. And then you make your edits. You know, you have fading. You have all your basic tools that you would expect to have from any DAW.
What's this tool, this handle here?
That is your fade.
So that's your fade tool.
You hit it once, and all the fade options come up there. And they're all customizable. Let's see if I can grab it. The snapping for the demo makes it a little harder to do here.
The snapping mode is kind of
snapping.
Funky.
Yeah, there's your fade. Gotcha. And you can see the wave changing in real time.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah, what's also great for voiceover artists is the AAF file format interchange, so you can move in between Logic, Pro Tools, and you can take your session, drop it right into here through AAF export, work on the go, you know, record a new vocal, export it as AAF, go right back into Pro Tools, you can export to Dropbox, email, SoundCloud, there's tons of different options.
Very nice. Excellent. And when's it available, and what will people be paying for it?
So Aurea Pro is going to be launching this spring, and if you're not a current Aurea user, it's going to be $49.99, which for that price point, what you're getting is just phenomenal. Yeah.
The pricing is crazy. Like, the pricing for iPad apps is so bizarre.
I know.
It's so much lower than what you'd expect it to be.
So we're really happy to be able to bring this many features in a professional DAW to real users out there.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate your time, Corey.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I can't wait to go to NAMM next year because I'll be a lot closer. And, you know, it's like all this candy in front of you.
Oh, it's a lot of candy. I mean, and it can take a lot of, I mean, there's a lot to see there, right? So the first few years, your head is just constantly on a swivel. It's very hard to focus in on what you really want to cover. And sometimes we spend time on products that, you know, maybe you're just kind of not really directly related to what we need. Maybe this might be one of those things. I just look at this as, for folks who find that they miss the functions of Pro Tools or Reaper and they want it on an iPad, this is really basically what you're going to get something as powerful as Reaper or some of the other tools and for an iPad, and it's $50, which in the world of apps or iPad apps is a lot of money. But when you compare it to its functionality, compared to, I don't know, Cubase or some other Pro Tools or Audition, it's pretty remarkable for $50.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Is that it for the NAMM videos?
Yeah. Like I said, if you want to see more NAMM, there's going to be more as I trickle them out, and they will be available at Edge Studios' YouTube channel. So we'll go see them over there.
Time for a fresh tip of the week next week.
Yes, sir.
We'll just Alrighty. Okay. Well, we have another 40 minutes of fabulous fun coming your way. We got a great couple coming on, going to tell us about their great business, play us some music, and hang out with us. Rosie and Brian Amador will be with us in just a couple of seconds here. Well, maybe, 130, 140 seconds here on East West Audio Body Shop. But first, we got to talk about our main patron of East West Audio Body Shop, the one and only Harlan Hogan. And go on over to voiceoveressentials.com because he's got what you need for voiceover. I mean, we've talked about the headphones. We talked about the microphone, the VO1A, the Signature Series headphone. We talk about that all the time. You should be owning those anyway. But if you don't, go buy them. Now, if you do own them or want to find something else, go go over to voiceoveressentials.com and check out some of the other things in there. We haven't talked about the Porter booth much in the last couple of months, which was, of course, what got Harlan started in this business in the first place. Now, when I was in California last week, and I had to get something done in the bedroom at my mom's house, which fortunately has this nice closet behind it where I can hang a blanket and stuff and set things up just right. The number one rule of voiceover, when you want work, make plane reservations. It just never fails.
That's right.
Every time. How many times have you been sitting in the terminal and you're like, yeah, flight's taking off about half an hour, and like, not now!
Exactly.
That's what the porta booth is for. When you arrive at your destination and you've got to get something done, and he makes two models. There's the porta booth pro, which was the original one it's the original one that he marketed that was constructed as a porta booth, the old cube one that they still sell. And of course the porta booth plus, which is fabulous, especially with the 416, really a nice thing to have when you're on the road in an emergency, and you can carry it around in their own carrying bags. They fit in the luggage racks.
Yeah, that's actually what I'm
set up
showing right now is the travel bag you can get for the Plus. It's a good bag. It's made specifically to fit the Plus, and it has a ton of pockets, so you can.
And it has great strap on it that when you pull the handle up on your bag, it slips right on there, and it just drags along with you.
Oh yeah, that's right. It has the rollerboard bag handle slot that slides right on.
If you don't have a porta booth, that's something I think is essential for you to have. And if it's essential, you have to get it at voiceoveressentials.com.
Thank you, Harlan.
There, I said it. Thank you very much, Harlan.
Much appreciated. All right. We'll be right back after these words.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios. Who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Whence came these two radiant celestial brothers united for an instant as they crossed the stratosphere of our starry window? One from the east and one from the west.
Very good.
All right, now we're sure to be busted for running that clip after it's been an Oscar-nominated film.
Boy, did that one do well last night, because it was a cute film. It was great.
It was
the
really
music
cool.
was great. The cinematography was great. It was just cute all around.
Yeah.
And it deserved to win.
And speaking,
especially because of that scene.
Speaking of cute all around.
Yes. It is time to bring in these guests who have been waiting so patiently in the green room, although it's the white room in Boston right now. Joining us from Boston, Massachusetts, two of my buddies in the voiceover business, Rosie and Brian Amador, welcome to East West Audio Body Shop.
Thank you. But that's actually Cambridge, Massachusetts. Right. Thank you.
I forgot.
Straight from Harvard.
Our fair city.
Exactly.
The home of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
That's right.
That's right.
You got it.
Anyway.
You know, I used to work for Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
Really?
Yeah, I worked for Tom and Ray's lawyer. Yeah. For several years.
No way.
Yeah, and there's actually a sign right there in Harvard Square.
That's not where their law office is. I mean, that's just their headquarters. But the office was just in some guy's house.
Oh, okay. Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. Okay. Anyway, Folks, it's great to have you on the show. You've got a fascinating career going in voiceover, especially since you do it together, and I guess sort of together. But first, give us a little bit of your background. Rosie, where are you from originally, and how did you get into voiceover?
Well, I'm originally from Puerto Rico. My family is from New York, Puerto Rico, and Argentina. I came to Boston in 19, a long time ago, when I graduated from college, quite a while ago.
I think 80, and right? Over, around 80 or something. Yeah.
Just use presidential administrations. That's what I do.
Carter. She came during Carter.
And I met Brian like 3 years
in
later.
In 84.
In 84. And we, well, should I tell you how we met, or should I?
Absolutely. I want to, I've never heard this story.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Right, but first, about me. More, enough about her. I grew up to the extent that I grew up in Albuquerque. And, I came to Boston in 1979 to study music at New England Conservatory of Music.
Wow.
And in 1984, Rosie and I met when a cultural exchange trip was being planned to Nicaragua in the middle of the Contra Civil War.
That's right. And we both applied for the trip. He was at the time playing with a flamenco dance company as an accompanist. And I was working for a theater company and sort of singing on the side, because I always sang. I sang as a child, as a young adult, you name it. And but we both applied for this trip to go as musicians. I thought, here's my chance to sing again and to sing in a meaningful way. We went in a peaceful project to work with Nicaraguan artists, and we kind of fell in love. Came back and formed our first band in 1984 called Flor de Caña, Sugarcane Flower. That lasted 10 years.
Wow.
Then we moved into our new band, now 20 years old, Solicanto, which means sun and song. And we did Latin music full time for all that time. I also did a few other, I tried out a few other businesses. I ran an agency called Music Amador for many years, bringing Latin music and dance to the United States. And what else? A few other things along the way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I guess we started in voiceover. It kind of happened to us because we were known as Latin musicians and cultural educators. We performed a lot of educational performances. Somebody approached us about doing some narration of stories for Scholastic, a colleague, a musical colleague, who would hire us to supplement what he was doing in Latino schools. And we ended up going into studios and doing educational narration. And we loved it. We absolutely loved it. And then studios started learning about us, noticed that we happened to be bilingual and equally fluent in both English and Spanish. And we got a few more of those calls. But we were still full-time musicians. And then we decided to have a baby, except it turned out to be two babies. So in 1996,
things happen that way, don't they?
Yep. We discovered we were having twins, and
we always wanted two daughters, and we got them on the same day.
That's
so
right.
There you have it.
So, and just around when we were thinking, you know, it's going to be harder to tour, because we would both take off on these tours. It's going to be harder to tour with these babies. The people in the hospital noticed that Brian kept bringing these rough mixes. It might have been on a cassette or a CD. I don't remember at that point.
I think it might have been
of our latest CD, our new CD. We recorded a CD. And they asked me if I would do a promotional campaign for the hospital. So I went into my first professional studio of that ilk, you know, with a director listening in on probably ISDN. And I loved it. I loved it. I got to read my own testimonial. But they helped, you know, to turn it into a spot. And I did radio and spots and print media. And I said, I love this. And it kind of planted the seed. I wonder if this is something that we could do on the side, you know. And I started researching online and found out that, oh, you don't have to be in LA or New York. You can actually be in Boston, maybe.
You did the magical voiceover search.
And absolutely.
It's like the door to, you know, Dorothy's house opening onto Munchkin Land. It was probably when you guys did that too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to not pay attention to the man behind the curtain. You know?
So we made a decision, you know, when by the time our girls got into sort of middle school, we really didn't want to be touring. And by that point, I was determined to look more seriously at voiceover. And I started communicating with people, wonderful people like John Florian, who I considered to this day, my VO guardian angel. I met him at an APAC conference, and he informed me and educated me so much with his wonderful online newsletter. And then I just started making friends in the VO community, and we started improving our studio and really learning and educating ourselves and studying. And so little by little, it increased to the point where about 5 years ago, we went full time, pretty much.
A little more than that, actually.
Maybe a little more. Well, yeah. We started a long time ago, about 20 years ago. But I would say in the last 5 years, we've been full time. And we love it. We love the community. We love our clients. The community is the best part. Oh, my gosh. We love all of our friends. Our voiceover friends, they're fantastic.
Yeah, we sure do have a good time when we get together, don't we?
We do.
Now, one of the fascinating things about, you know, I mean, the two of you here, and George, this is the secret to successful marriages in voiceover.
Yeah, I'm listening.
They Uh-oh. Both do it.
Exactly.
It helps.
You have all the same voiceover friends and stuff. It's like,
yes, but it helps to have a B room.
It does.
I mean, well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But okay. What you guys really do, which I always find really impressive, is how you concentrate on your voiceover business as a business. I mean, I talk with you guys often, and you're always talking about we're doing this, we're doing that. What are some of the things that you do that perhaps people should be doing to really make sure that they are running their business as opposed to their hobby?
Well, you know, there's, as Rosie was saying, you know, and you know, the voiceover community is an incredibly generous community of people who are always willing to share their experience and knowledge. And one of the things we've learned is that clients really like it when you appreciate them, when you make them feel like you're taking care of them and like you're really committed to giving them exactly what they want. So that's one part of it. Another part of it is to do your research and find out what other possible avenues of new business there may be that you can approach and to set time aside to do that. Rosie's a lot better at that than I am. But, you know.
We're working on that.
But I cook, so, you know.
There's trade-offs. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's important to run it as a business, and I'm always really impressed how you do that because you've got to be really organized. I mean, it's because you're both doing this. Yes. Yeah. Now I'm thinking of the Americans. You guys are actually Cuban spies.
I have that on my list to watch, and I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard it's really good.
Great show. But anyway, back to what we were talking about here. Now, how are you set up there in your home for studio space? Because you were saying you've got to have more than one booth, apparently. Or do you like share? Or it's like, you know, it's like the bathroom in the morning if you only got one.
No, that's not quite.
The room we're seated in. This is our office.
This is our office. Yeah. This is where all the business goes on. Mm-hmm. Right over behind us is the studio on the other side of the hall, which is also my office. That's where my primary computer is. And where the mic is set up. And then in this side, on the other side here, our daughter Sonia has her bedroom with a walk-in closet. And her walk-in closet is our B room in case of emergencies. So if one of us is doing a job and the other one needs to do an audition, we'll go in there with the Apogee mic and an iPad and do it in the walk-in closet.
And I do use my chaotic eyeball. With my USB
They didn't
mic.
Pay us for that prompt.
they really didn't, and they're not paying us either.
But. I like it. I'm very fond of it. I take it on the road with us when we have to do remote recording, and it saved us many a time.
So
mostly we record in our proper studio, although occasionally I've had to use the iPad on the road. But yeah, having that studio be for auditions is great. That way we don't have to kick each other out of the studio to do auditions.
Now, do you work together on some stuff? If you're working on a project, does one record, you know, do the engineering and the editing and the other does the voice? Do you switch off or what?
I engineer Rosie sometimes. Usually if I'm recording, I'll just engineer myself. but sometimes when she's doing it, I'll engineer her.
But you know what's really fun is when we do auditions that are dialogues and they're male female. That's a lot of fun. We get to do those together.
See, and if that's I think something that a lot of people don't have.
Yeah.
They're alone in their closet.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing in there?
Yeah.
You know, and they don't get to work with somebody else. And if you're
you can imagine the other person conversing with you, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
That's right. That's right. So but to have somebody who you're totally familiar with and can be completely familiar with, I'll bet that works just fabulous.
Yeah.
It does.
We coach each other as well. That's also
very helpful. That's also very helpful, especially if, you know, if it feels like a really, you know, oh, this is a good fit. Let's give it your best shot. And so we listen to each other and we help. And that's also really lovely.
Yeah. Do you have any creative arguments over that? Or
of course.
All right. You're normal. That's good. Yeah. Now you still have your band. And you I knew you were touring last year. You're not doing as many tours as you were, but how do you handle your voiceover business when you're touring?
Well, you're right. We're not touring as much. Last year? We went to California.
Year before last.
Already? Year before last?
California. We went to
about a year and a half ago
we went
to California. Mm-hmm. And you know, mostly when we tour, we try to actually take the time to be musicians and be able to connect with friends, because we'll prioritize going to areas to tour where we have friends. So hint, hint, we love LA and ready to come back.
We'll have a spare room. So
just in case, just saying. but I do tuck away the iPad and the USB mic just in case. And if I have to, I have to. So when we were in California, for example, we were staying with our friends in Mountain View and they had a nice walk-in closet. And a producer contacted me from Boston and said, Rosie, we're doing a benefit for the Boston Children's Hospital. And we're bringing Juanes, a major Colombian, you know, superstar singer. And
we'd
love to help out with a PSA and, a spot. And I did it in the closet. And it came out great. And, you know, they laid the music over it. So it didn't, I mean, anything would have sounded great with that music behind it. But no, it's great to be able to have that flexibility. And take it on the road. So yeah, that's, you know, we just do it on a case by case basis.
Yeah.
But no, I do actually really feel that it's important for all of us to take a break sometimes. And I try to let our clients know, this is when we're going away. We have a spot on our new website that tells people, you know, when we're available and when we're not. And I tell them we're going away and I email everyone and I say, I'd love to do your work before this date and after this date. And in between, only emergencies and really short jobs. So please, you know, help us out while we do this other thing that we need to do in our lives, because we all need rest, you know. And it works. People are very respectful and they're very kind. And they write, and I'm so sorry to be interrupting. Do you think you could do this? But it's not very many people. No, I have to say, really, they are really respectful. So that's worked out. You just have to kind of set boundaries and be kind. Kindness goes a long way. And I think that's one of the reasons why I feel so comfortable in the voiceover community. I feel like our community is so kind. And I kind of feel like we fit right in, you know, because we enjoy being kind too. So it just goes in every direction.
Yeah. Now, what types of stuff do you do? I mean, you're saying you're doing commercials and stuff, and but what genres of material do you guys really, you know, spend the most of the time doing?
We do a lot of e-learning, a fair amount of industrial kind of stuff.
We do quite a bit of commercial.
Yes, commercial and, you know, kind of PSAs, that sort of thing. Rosie does quite a bit of medical as well.
Yeah.
I do some, a little bit of IVR, not a ton.
I do quite a bit of IVR.
Yeah. How much of it is English versus Spanish?
Actually, it's funny because this last couple of years, we finally started keeping data on all that stuff. Yeah. And last year was the first year we had really consistent data that we could analyze. And it was a bit surprising. We found out that we had about 60% of our work in Spanish and 40% in English.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we actually had more commercial work than we thought we had. We thought we were much more narration. But I'm the voice of Mattress Firm in
Texas.
In Florida and no, Florida and Miami, actually, and Chicago. And they thank you, Mattress Firm, but they have me working every week, and that, you know, that adds up. So that's lovely.
Yeah. Especially President's Day.
Yes.
Lots of President's Day. Yes.
Many President's Day.
That's the time to buy a bed.
Yeah. I'm going to celebrate President's Day with a mattress sale.
You got it.
Absolutely. Now, you guys also do some audiobooks and stuff. And we wanted to play an excerpt from one of the books that you did so people can hear the unique the kind of stuff you do. Audiobooks. You want to roll that, George?
I do. I just got to find that one tab that got hidden between 17 other tabs.
Should I give you a little intro to it?
Like, yeah, talk to us while he's trying to figure out where it is. Okay.
So what's cool about this clip is that we do bilingual voiceover.
Our whole family did this.
So do our kids. Yeah. So this was the first audiobook that our kids participated in, and it's Lola's Fandango.
Oh, cool.
It's a story about a little girl who
two
little girls. But one of them gets taught to dance flamenco by her papi. So this is the papi, this is the mommy, and our daughters, Sonia and Alisa, we're the two sisters in the family.
Yeah.
So that's what you'll be hearing.
Awesome. Okay. Well, here it is.
Okay.
Lola's Fandango, written by Ana Vita, illustrated by Misha Archer, narrated by the Amador family. That evening, when Mommy and Clementina go to the grocery store, Lola takes her first lesson.
The most important thing in flamenco is rhythm,
says Papi.
Before you start to dance, you have to be able to clap the rhythm. Listen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All right?
All right, says Lola.
Now let's clap together,
says Papi.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Wow. And that's the way, to me, that's the way audiobooks should be. It was like watching Reading Rainbow, but.
I love that show, Reading Rainbow.
Hey, when you got a young kid, you got to have, nothing beats LeVar. But I mean, that's, to me, that's what an audiobook should be, especially kids' books. It's got to be multimedia. It's got to be, and that's an important thing to do. And that sounds great.
Well, and what's great about this project and a lot of the audiobooks we've gotten to do for kids is I also get to do the music for them. So for Lola's Fandango, I composed all the music and recorded it here in our studio and with these other ones as well. Yeah.
Yeah. We love doing these. I'll tell you, for me, the bilingual audiobooks and documentaries and audio tours are my favorite. I love doing them. So much fun. And also educational animation, too. We work with a few clients who send us some of that work. And it's so much fun. We have a blast.
If it ain't fun, why do it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And speaking of fun, I figured, before we go to the break here, that perhaps you could play us a tune.
Perhaps we could.
Okay. If anybody has a question for Brian and Rosie, throw it in the chat room, and our amazing chat room monitor, Antonio Gettig, will get it on here for us.
Antonio. I want to say also while we're on here that I believe some friends from Argentina who I invited to participate this evening might be listening. So a special hello to Natalia and Pablo. So grateful that you're here. And hopefully some friends from the Dominican Republic too, and Antonio from Puerto Rico. I know he was here a little earlier. So gracias a todos por estar aquí con nosotros. Okay.
Alrighty.
De Cuba.
A classic from Cuba by Miguel Matamoros. It tells the story of a couple walking down the street. She wants a kiss, and he says, "What? With all these people watching, let's wait a little longer because I want to kiss you like this."
And that's where you can join in.
You need to join us on rhythmic kissing, all right?
All right.
And you can do it.
Brian will guide you.
Con ilusión, le dice muy apurada, bésame en aquel rincón.
Y el novio le dice, espera,
caramba, deja que pase la gente,
que miradas callejeras,
son miradas imprudentes,
que miradas callejeras,
mamá, son miradas imprudentes.
¡Sabor!
que te besen, mi amor. Si la gente está mirando de allí, esperemos un momento mejor. Que quiero besarte así.
Everybody.
Así. 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 Así.
Así a bailar.
De mis besos que viven para ti, esperemos un momento mejor. Que quiero besarte así.
Todos.
Así. Así. Así.
Así.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Gracias.
That song's from the 40s. Can you believe it? Old Cuban stuff. We love it. We love it.
Ah, the oldies, but the goodies.
Cuban music is the best.
Oh, I love it. We love
Thanks
it.
Thanks to Buena Vista Social Club, it became so much more publicized.
Yeah. I know. It opened up a whole world over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Latin music, of course, isn't just Latin music. I mean, you've got, you know, the clave and you've got samba, you've got all this great, you know, mixture of stuff, Caribbean rhythms and the Cuban rhythms, and it's all great stuff. And you guys seem to, you know, sort of stretch it around a little bit, don't you?
What's your
favorite stuff?
Yeah, that's been sort of one of our trademarks all the time that we've been doing music, is we've always really loved to do a wide variety of styles from all over Latin America, because there's just so much good stuff, you know?
Yeah. Some of the best composers and Latin music, and then a lot of American jazz guys who started to pick up Latin jazz, Stan Getz and Dizzy Gillespie and Paul Winter and those guys, and just wonderful stuff.
It is. We're very lucky to play with a bunch of great guys too, because we can be a duo, trio, all the way to a sextet.
Yeah.
And with them, we play a lot of Brian's original stuff, and then some of these classics that we love.
Well, and being in Boston, we have access to a lot of really wonderful
Berklee College of Music, New England Conservatory, where Brian graduated.
I'd say. Pretty good. All right. If anybody's got any questions, again, throw them in the chat room, and we can ask them of Brian and Rosie. But right now, we got to talk about this big thing that you're going to, George, in Atlanta.
That's right. VO Atlanta.
VO Atlanta, which is, what are the dates on that?
It is starting on March 12th. And we don't have the notes in the show notes for some reason, but it starts March 12th. I know that much because I'm going to be there. And I do know that there is still a promo code for that. And it's EWABS. So, but it starts March 12th. If you want to sign up and find out more about it, it's over at voatlanta.me. And there's an incredible number of great coaches and just movers and shakers in the voiceover community who are going to be at this event. It's going to be a really, really great, very well-produced. And I was there last year, so I can't say it is a well-produced event. You're going to really enjoy yourself there.
I know you did.
I really did. I really did enjoy myself. I've been to a lot of voiceover conferences, and this one just felt a little bit different. I don't know why. Good vibes, good time. The way it was kicked off was just really a great feeling. And the venue worked out beautifully. It was the Airport Hilton in Atlanta. And the place is really set up great for this. You know, it's not too sprawling. Everything's in one area, but there's still a lot of space. And you can get outside and walk to several restaurants right outside of the building, so you can get places very quickly. And which is a very important thing, by the way, when you're in a hotel, especially when it's this big and everything's in one place, leave the hotel at least once a day. It's very, very important because you start to forget that, we're in the South and it's warm and the weather's nice. And, I've been in air conditioning for a few days. Maybe I need to get some fresh air. It's very important to do that, remind you. But anyway, voatlanta.me for anybody interested in going and finding out who's who of who's going to come. I know a few of my friends, Cliff Zellman and Roy Yokelson, are going to be there.
Roy's going to be there.
Yeah.
So go over there. If you still can, go to VoiceOver Atlanta. All right.
I'd like to add something about VoiceOver Atlanta.
Oh, my friend
Simone Fogiel is coordinating the very first VO Spanish day there. So for my friends Pablo Hernandez, Antonio, who are online here, and anybody else who might be able to make it to VO Atlanta on Saturday, Simone is having an entire day as part of that conference. Well, did you do that, George? With amazing,
renowned Spanish VO talent.
Quedan todos cordialmente invitados.
Thank you for saying that. I almost forgot. And now I know how to say Simone's last name correctly.
Yes.
We've been wondering for about 5 years. All right, that explains it.
It's not an easy one. It's not easy.
Is it like Fogiel?
No.
Fogiel.
Fogiel.
Fogiel. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Speaking of Spanish, my wife just scooted in here and brought out one of our favorite CDs, which is it's called Scream How Levine Does the Rumba. it's the Latin Jewish musical story of the 1940s to the 1980s. Tito Puente, Carol King, Herb Alpert, Abby Lane, stuff like that.
Wow.
Great stuff. A lot of great salsa music on there.
You know, my mom played with Tito Puente. He kind of started in her band. Yeah. She was a star. Yeah.
She was in the USO with Dean Martin and
Jerry Lewis. She was in movies in Mexico with Cantinflas. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
We have it in our household. So
nice. That's great. I'm going to be looking at that.
We like salsa music. I've learned how to dance from the crotch. That's the language.
It's
me. Anyway.
We call it the hips, Dan, but that's okay.
That's not the way I was taught. Anyway, maybe mine was more African. I'm not quite sure. But anyway. We're with Brian and Rosie Amador here at East West Audio Body Shop. We got lots of great questions from our amazing audience in our chat room. First off, from Alex K. In the voiceover business, is having a regional accent detrimental, or is it better to have a regional accent? I guess he's meaning in Spanish, probably.
It depends.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
it depends who we are.
It depends.
I think in English, as in Spanish, there are times when that's what the producer is looking for. But it's, I think it's best to be able to speak without any regional accent, because that certainly widens your possibilities. And, the most common thing that's asked for with Spanish usually is neutral Latin American.
That's right.
With no identifiable regionalisms.
Now, mind you, I would say, let's see.
The train. I don't know if you can hear that.
Yeah, actually good.
You heard it? Yeah.
Is that Charlie still on the MTA there?
I'll tell you something about, I don't think I have the math right, but maybe a quarter of our work is accented English. So on request, I sort of channel my dad, my papi from Argentina, and we can add it. And since I'm Puerto Rican and Argentine, I can also inflect with those accents in my Spanish. But Brian's right. Primarily, I think one of the things that makes our voiceover so attractive in Spanish is the neutral aspect. And then again, being able to add in a little accent when it's called upon for the, specific demographic.
Yeah.
When it's necessary.
In the U.S., if we're doing something in Spanish and they do want an accent, most often it would be Mexican, because that's the, the biggest U.S. Latino population.
Right. Absolutely. J.S. Gilbert asks a lot of things, but he asks here, how much of your work is derived due to your ability to do the work both in Spanish and English?
How much of the work? Well, I would say it's an interesting question. I'm surprised because my hope was always that we'd get
lots of bilingual jobs.
Lots of bilingual jobs. Obviously, that's my ideal client, right? To do it in both languages. But clearly, people are looking mostly for one language or the other. Yeah. However, that being said, we do have some clients who come to us. And for example, on our YouTube page and on our website, I have a spot I did for Nevada Health. They chose me specifically because they wanted a friendly, warm, nurturing voice in English and Spanish to invite people to sign up for healthcare. So it does happen. And certainly in telephony and IVR, that is definitely one of the reasons why I get tapped, a lot to do that. And sometimes in narration, educational mm-hmm. narration.
Yeah.
We do. But it's interesting that it's not more. I think people look for us for specific projects in one language or another. We do, as you can imagine, we do a lot of overdub work. A lot of videos or educational material that's created initially in English. And it varies. It really it can be just about anything. I mean, we did something for prisons not so long ago. I did. Remember, we did something for a client who had us do education about sexual harassment in prisons.
Right.
So it was kind of a tutorial on that.
Well, that's right. And I did one on what the procedures are when you come to our jail.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it runs the gamut. I mean, that's just something recent that we did that we're remembering. But overdubs and we've learned the ability to, as you may know, Dan and George, there's a lot more words in Spanish than in English. So to fit the Spanish words over the English
is that why it sounds so much faster?
Yeah, it's rather a challenge. So we love it when we get to work with producers who are willing to tweak the video or who have enough B-roll that it gives us time to finish our phrases. Otherwise, we spend a lot more time trying to make things fit in without sounding like selling used cars. But we give our clients a heads up about that. We let them know. We educate them as much as possible. And by and large, they're really willing to accommodate us so that the product will sound good and not like a used car and sales.
We have a translator that we work with a lot who's very good at that, at paring things down so you still get the message without necessarily all the words.
Yeah. So if the client allows us to recommend our translator, that works out real well. Sometimes we get given scripts that aren't very good. Yikes. And I'm sure that Antonio and Paolo might be familiar with those. Mm-hmm. And we have to make recommendations. We respectfully make recommendations about how they may be improved. And we don't record unless we're told it's okay. But 9 times out of 10. People take our recommendations and, you know, they're working with native speakers. So they know they can trust us. So we're lucky. We're really lucky. We have great, great clients.
Great. Yeah. JS also asks, does it bother you when you hear very obvious fake Hispanic accents in commercials, games, and things like that, et cetera?
It bothers me when I hear a very fake accent, no matter what it is. If I heard myself trying to do an Irish accent on a commercial, that would bother me too. not that good.
Being a Spanish leprechaun, that would be fascinating.
Pablo O'Hare.
If it's a joke, I can live with it. If it's something funny, making fun, I get it. But yeah, if it's a real spot or if it's a real narration and it's supposed to be real authentic Spanish, it is very upsetting to see that. Well,
get ready, Cinco de Mayo is coming. Jay Tremblay voice asks, Brian and Rosie, do you tend to go to conferences events together or tag team them for more coverage? I don't know. I seem to run into you guys together just about everywhere.
Yeah. You know, I went to FAFCON many years ago. The first one that I went to was in Atlanta. That was what, number 5? I can't remember.
I think I met you there.
I think we met there. Yeah. Yes. I think I liked you. I think I did.
I'm glad to hear that.
I did. And after I came back, I said, Brian, this is amazing. You have to come next time. And since then, we've been coming together. And we're coming to WoWo. For the first time, we're coming to WoWOcon. We'll come together. We debated whether, should we spend that much money? We said, you know what? We can't not be there. We cannot be there, both of us. So
I'm bringing the ukulele.
And you're bringing the ukulele. And I'll bring my clavis. We'll be all set then in the lobby.
We'll do some Spanish Hawaiian music. That'll be different.
Yeah.
Okay. Steve Gonzalez, voiceover, asks, audio tours, contact production houses, use Mandy.com, museum departments of marketing.
You know, that's a tough one, Steve. I actually did I made a lot of special efforts to try and get more audio tours. And we do less than I would like. Fortunately, Google is our friend and we've been found by some script writers. One that happens to live in Cambridge, who's been using me for some work with the Guggenheim and a bunch of different museums. So that was great. And I've done some work for Lonely Planet. Also, that was for helping people with Spanish travel in Latin America. So if you buy the Lonely Planet app on traveling, I forget what it's called, Fast Talk or something like that. I forget. But anyway, I'm the Spanish, the Latin American Spanish voice. So harder to get in the door there. But worth it. Really fun. Really fun doing those.
Yeah. And he says, by the way, cool 3-2 clave while singing.
Thank you.
George.
Yeah. So which one of you guys, which one of you is the geek? One of you is almost always the geekier one.
Which one of us is the geekier one? Yeah, that would be me.
Este. Definitely.
So what do you, how much? Yeah.
I read your posts and Dan's posts, and I email them to him because he doesn't keep an eye on things the way I do. So your good information is funneled through me to him, and then he's to do everything about
so
it.
So she'll send it to me with something like, "Do you get this?
Look into this. This sounds good. Couldn't we use this?"
So how much gear do you guys actually manage to travel? Do you have to travel with? Do you guys keep it under control? One setup for each of you, or just share one setup?
No, we just share one setup. You know, okay. We'll travel with usually the Apogee Duet. I mean, Apogee mic, our eyeball, and either an iPad or a laptop.
No, but in the studio we use two different
he says
mics.
When we travel.
Oh, sorry, when we travel. Yeah. Okay.
What do you guys use? Mics do you guys use?
These days, Rosie's been using an AT4040, and I use a CAD C1000S, just like that, or 100S, sorry, like you've got it right there, yeah. And
that's I'm
liking it quite a bit.
Oh, okay. The E100 is fantastic. Great mic.
Yeah. E100,
which is why it's the official mic of right here. All righty. The real Amy Fisher asks, do you guys do jingles?
No, we have never done a jingle. I don't know. It just hasn't come up. It's funny because we were talking about this, Dan, you and I, the other day, the fact that we haven't really featured on our website. We just recreated our website in the fall after many years.
Which is beautiful, by the way.
Thank you. Great, beautiful website. Please visit and let us know what you think. It's amadorbilingualvoiceovers.com. And we didn't really feature our music very strongly, not on the homepage. We put it in our bios, and I'm reconsidering that. Maybe we should, right? I mean, obviously it's a huge part of who we are, but we thought maybe it would be confusing to mix it up on the homepage. So I don't know. I think we might put that in because who knows, maybe jingles would come out of it or something. I mean, Brian writes music for all the audiobooks, a lot of the audiobooks, the kids' audiobooks, but in general, and we've done a little bit, some of our e-learning clients have asked us for some instrumental music and have used some of his music.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it hasn't been something we've thought of a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pablo Hernandez asks, how long exactly have you been in voiceover? We talked about this earlier. He must have come in. He's on Puerto Rican time. So he's...
Yeah. we started actually in something like, I don't know, late 80s? With educational narration. But really, I would say within the last 10 years and the most within the last 6 years is when we've been focusing on it a lot more.
Yeah, about four years ago was when we really stopped doing any long tours, music tours, because our kids were in high school and it just didn't make sense anymore. So that's when we really threw ourselves.
I'll say it in Spanish for Pablo. I know he speaks English, but for fun, Pablo, hace como 20 y pico de años que estamos haciendo locución, pero a tiempo completo hace como 5 o 6. Gracias por la pregunta.
Nice.
De nada. All righty. Devox asks, this is an interesting question. Where is neutral Latin American Spanish spoken? Seriously. Right. this is what he wants to learn.
Right. It's a great question.
Where is standard American spoken? Standard North American? They say Midwest. In Buffalo?
In Buffalo.
At that microphone, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So neutral Latin American is something that...
It's a great question.
Where you hear it most is in the media. You hear it in movies and on TV and newscasts. You know, it's basically an attempt to make it accessible to anybody, anywhere in Latin America. So, you know, if you have really strong Argentine regionalisms, it's going to turn off people in Mexico. The idea is that if you have an accent that's fairly flat without any distinct regionalisms, then it's going to be pretty much acceptable to anybody all over Latin America. So I guess you might say nowhere and everywhere would be the answer to that question. You know, because if you go to Argentina, people have an accent. If you go to Mexico, people have an accent.
Right.
But if you're turn on the TV, chances are you're going to hear what's referred to as neutral Latin American. So it's something that a lot of people are encouraged to learn to do.
My son is fairly fluent in Spanish. He's actually a Spanish major in college and a linguistics major, and he speaks Spanish very, very fluently, but with no accent at all. He sounds like someone from Buffalo talking in Spanish to someone from Buffalo.
You mean that they were Spanish with a Buffalo American accent?
Yes. There is no Buffalo accent.
¿Cómo te llamo, por favor? You mean like that? It's
something exactly like that. Dr. Bill Lord asks, have you ever been told that you're not authentic enough?
Ooh, that what a comment Ooh. That is.
I have not.
No, I've been told that I have an accent.
Yes.
In English.
Yes.
And in Spanish.
Yeah, he's been studying accent reduction because he wants, we were talking about that earlier, he wants to be able to do both kinds of jobs, you know. You can detect, Brian's from New Mexico, and you can detect a little bit of his accent, and he's been working with one of your colleagues at Edge.
I get a lot less grief about my accent in Spanish than I do in English.
Yeah, he speaks rather neutral Latin American Spanish, but in English you can detect his Southwestern roots. So it's nice to have that out of the picture certain kinds of narration.
Authenticity has never really come into it so much. No.
Right.
Very interesting. Yeah. Scott Chambers asks, do you ever compete for jobs if it's like a male and female call? I mean, you're like, you take a stab at this one. All right, I'll try it. And then you ever try that? Or ever happen?
Well, we often audition for the same job if it's open to both male and female.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You try to coach the other one to not do it as well?
Have you been lucky enough to both win your respective auditions for a couple's read?
Not popsicle.
Have you guys ever been lucky enough to each win your respective parts in a script where you get to each play a part in a script?
No,
so you're playing both voices?
No. I mean, so we often get hired together. Like a client finds our website. Yeah.
Hired as a couple.
Our website says, I have a perfect job for you because I want to hire both of you.
Yeah.
But in terms of auditioning together, or sometimes separately, we haven't yet gotten booked for something. That would be really fun. That would be cool. That would be really fun if it
Yeah.
It's going to happen someday, right? It's got to happen.
It's bound to happen.
Bound to happen.
I hope so.
I can't wait to hear those two auditions. All right. Eric, who's now actually watching Ellen now, says it's impressive to see that your daughters are doing voiceover too. How old are they now, and how old were they when they started, and what kind of jobs do they get?
Thanks for asking.
They'll be 19 in April. So they're twins. As we mentioned.
Yes.
And I think the first real job they did probably was Lola's Fandango, right? When they were, 11 or so?
They were 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a while. They're going to turn 19.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. They do. You know what? It's so fun to see them blossom this way. They studied acting as younger kids. And it totally paid off. Totally paid off. They do Pandora radio spots. Sonia gets booked a lot for college ads, but she's done other stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've done museum work. Alisa's voice is in a California museum in the LA area, actually.
And Sonia's in a museum in Albuquerque.
Sonia's in a museum in Albuquerque that I think is current.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sonia just did something for the Boston Water and Sewer Commission a couple of weeks ago. And Alisa has done commercials for storage companies for college students, you know. So they have great natural reads. And, of course, they do, you know, the teenage read, young adult read. And also Sonia is very good at child voices. So she does apps, educational apps. She does one for Scholastic. Called I Learn With, Aprendes Con in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And they do a lot of bilingual work. No, it's called I Learn With.
You Learn With.
Well, in Spanish, it's called Aprendes Con. I'm not going to fight about this now.
yes.
And don't fight about
You've
it.
You've been on the show Spanish. Long enough to get a little.
I thought she spoke Spanish.
The name of my product, don't argue with me.
She spoke Spanish when I met her. I guess something must have broken.
Awesome.
Yeah. Susan Bernard asks, do you ever get... Do you ever get requests for translation service? You talked about this a little bit before, or script writing, and do you promote that side of your business as well?
Well, we do get requests for it, and we only do it if it's a really short thing because, you know, we're not professional translators. I can do a good translation, but I don't want to spend all day doing it. So if it's a paragraph or two, I'll take a stab at it. But if it's longer than that, we usually encourage them to send it to this translator that we work with.
Yeah. And plus, you know, it's really hard to translate idiomatic expressions. It's so hard. American idiomatic expressions. So, you know, it's delicate. So it's better if we hand it over to our translator and he handles it.
like, you know, call me anything you want. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Exactly.
That one wouldn't translate well.
No, not at all. I remember
trying to explain that to a Nigerian once, and he just sort of looked at me kind of cross-eyed. Pablo Hernandez has another question. Do you guys have a golden rule for your voiceover and music business to be successful?
Oh.
I think, I don't know, I guess I have one.
Yeah, tell me, what is it?
My golden rule is just remember that every time you work for a client, the person at the other end of that communication, the person you're working for, is a human being just like you, and they want to be treated with respect and kindness. And you know, they want you to do your best. And so do it.
I would agree. I think that it holds true for music too, in terms of, you know, our audiences are there to experience the best that you can offer. So with our VO clients, we work as a team. We really deeply care, and we genuinely do, about what we're working on. I mean, otherwise we wouldn't be doing this. I mean, it just would be no fun, you know? And with our music, well, obviously, you know, we're writing the music, singing the lyrics that express our hearts, you know, desire. You know, the messages that we sing in our music are truly an expression of who we are. And we're sort of putting it out there. I mean, we're all, as actors and musicians, we're all vulnerable. Everybody who's participating tonight knows this. We're extending ourselves in a very vulnerable way and wanting to do our best and help the planet in whatever way is possible. So we're putting it out there, and we're hoping that it'll be well received. And we care. We deeply care. And I think that's the key, you know, to really care about how people feel.
Yeah. And apparently it's working. Well, I love you guys. It's always great to see you. I mean, I see you guys every week anyway, but I've been looking forward to our opportunity to chat for you at length here on some of your philosophy and some of the fun.
It's been an honor.
It really has.
And really fun talking to you guys.
We think that this show is fantastic, and we are so grateful to you for doing it. And we really, truly are honored to have been on it. I know we're in great company. All these years that you've been doing this. Thank you so much for having us.
We feel the same way. Okay, now I'm going to make a little editorial decision. You guys want to play the bumper out for us? Just so as we go to commercial here, we can at least get you one more time. Now he's got to go find his guitar.
We didn't think we were going to play anymore. Now we have to decide what to do.
Just come up with something silly. And Brian and Rosie Amador, thanks for being with us, guys.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Alrighty.
Oh, the nations like banana. This one's for Ella. All the races like banana. Oh, the nations like banana.
All the way from Nicaragua.
All the races like banana.
Hey, oh.
England like it,
banana.
Uruguay like it,
banana.
Jamaica like it,
banana.
Kenya like it,
banana.
Australia like it,
banana.
USA like it,
banana.
Banana.
Hey, this is Roger Leopardi, and you're watching East West Audio Body Shop.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
Don't touch that dial. Seriously, stay with us, please. Dan and George will be right back.
Et voilà, this is East West Audio Body Shop with Dan Leonard in the East and George Whittem in the West. Merci. Et maintenant, back to the show.
Hey guys, this is Tom, also known as the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, and you want to fill your ear holes and your eye holes with Dan and George and the East West Audio Body Shop. Ah! Meow. Snails like it too.
All right. You did it again. All right.
That's because Alex walked in right when I was starting the show and distracted me.
That's like just like when I would. This is going to happen when you and I are together doing this show.
Exactly. Oh, it's going to be a train wreck for at least 17 episodes.
Yeah, really. So everyone's going to be tuning in just for that.
It's like NASCAR, everybody.
That's right. First off, thanks to our donors of the week, especially Eric Aragone, who is the donor of the century.
Oh, yeah, nobody has surpassed his dedication to supporting the show. Thank you so much, Eric.
We never see him in the chat room, though. Eric, come on, join us. Come and get in the conversation. You don't have to, but we'd like to hear from you anyway.
No.
Who else has been in our donation tab this week?
Well, lately we've had donations come in from the likes of, I'm looking right now, Kentswald Studios and Greg Tremblay Voiceovers. Hey, Greg was in the chat room tonight.
He was. Thank you, Greg, guys.
We've also had support from, he signed up as a sustaining member. Very, very nice. Thank you.
Outstanding.
David Smith. David's a regular. Jeffrey Scott Chambers, also a regular donor. I'm starting to see a lot of the same names every week, which is pretty cool. Patty Gibbons. There's Eric, of course. And a whole bunch more came in last week. Brian Page. Thanks, Brian. He's down there in Orange County. My dad. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I'm glad he's finally stepping up the...
Yeah. Really. Amanda Fellows. Shelley Avellino. Holy smokes. I mean, the list gets slightly longer every week of all those recurring... sustaining folks, right. Maureen Vogel. I mean, yeah. Bill Russell.
And we really appreciate the help. And if you want to donate to our cause here, you know, we're trying to get we're going to be upgrading some of our equipment when we move the show completely to Southern California, and it's going to be even better than this. If you thought that was possible, which I'm sure you have, we're going to get some updates, some stuff, and so we could use a little help with that. Plus, we got to pay for the bandwidth, so you don't have to watch other people's commercials. You get to watch the ones that are paying to be here, which is pretty important. Let's see. You're going to be in New York City next week, but I think we talked about that. But you can talk about it again.
Well, we definitely covered that, but yes, I will. February 25th to the 27th. Actually, the 27th is a Friday, and I still have a number of slots available for anybody in New York who needs to see me face-to-face. So if you're in the New York City area, I'd love to come see you. Just reach out to us. Send an email to... You can send it to me, George.Whittem, or to my assistant, Rebel.Claire. That's right. Rebel is her real name. R-E-B-E-L. Rebel.Claire, C-L-A-I-R.
At Edge Studio. I can just imagine what her parents were like.
At EdgeStudio.com. That's right. So if anybody liked it. And also be in the Philadelphia area March 2nd. So if you're in that area, let me know. Because if you don't let me know, I'm going to go skiing in the Poconos.
Okay. And otherwise, you're gonna love it this year.
I want to get at least one day of skiing in this year. I vow to do that.
All right.
Plug for narrator helper. I can't even narrate today. narratorhelper.com. If you're looking to produce a long form project and you're the voice and you have to deal with the whole production, probably working for ACX, this is a great resource for you. Amy Golan, my wife, who I trained on how to edit and record and master audiobooks, she will help you through it and do it very efficiently. She's got a great ear, and she's really on top of it. So let her know if she could help you out.
All right. Yeah. Also, if you missed the show, we're on YouTube. All 170 9 episodes of eWebs, including the amazing first episode, which everybody has to see, is available on YouTube. Just go over to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/eWebshow with two S's, unlike our email address. And like us right. on Facebook and Twitter and all those places. You guys have done all that. Keep doing it and tell your friends to do it. We need to thank our sponsors once again. The amazing Harlan Hogan, voiceover extra, Edge Studio. Point to the sign, George. And VoiceZam, the best way to present your demos. And VoiceOver Atlanta, all these great folks for providing the uninterrupted live stream and bandwidth of this fabulous show you have watched this evening.
Mostly uninterrupted.
Yes. I'd like to thank my wife, especially for coming in with the album. Sounds like she really enjoyed the show tonight, which is really great.
Yeah, I'd like to thank our good family friend, Alex Krogadal, for being here tonight, even though he was just slightly distracting. I'd like to thank him for hanging out throughout the show to keep Ella entertained, because my wife is not here. So thanks a lot, Alex. Appreciate the help.
All righty. And, of course, we need to thank Kathy Gurdon, our marvelous producer, for getting great guests like Brian and Rosie. I'm like, we're getting Brian and Rosie. All right. That's great. Anthony Gettig for his usual stellar job in the chat room. Shelley Avellino helping out when she can in there. Jack DeGaulia for the amazing job he does with the show notes. If you miss something, you want an address, you want a web address or something like that, it's there in the show notes along with the show, and it's right above me here. If you just look right above my head, you'll see all the menus up there. Show notes are up there as well. Also, Tim McKean for working on eWebs Essentials. I got to check and see what they've got in there. It sounds like they're throwing a lot of tips of the week in there. Easy to watch stuff. And Lee Pinney for being Lee Pinney, because what would we be without Lee Pinney? We're not quite sure.
Right.
Let's see. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks again to Brian and Rosie for joining us tonight. And have a great week. Excuse me.
Yeah.
That's an eWebs first. It took me 179 episodes to actually.
I believe it was.
See. Well, that's been like crawling up in there and whoa. Oh, my brain. I got to shove that back in there. All righty. that's going to do it for us tonight. Do we have anybody planned for next week, or are we off next week?
We're going to take the week off because I'm going to be in New York.
Yeah,
actually in Pennsylvania and
skiing.
I am actually trying. I'm actually going to try to take that day off. Unless somebody needs me in Philly, I'm gonna take that day officially off and actually try to go skiing that day. So
right. So we'll be off next week, but the week after that, you don't want to miss it. It's going to be our international eWeb show. That's going to be on 6 hours earlier. We're going to be on at 3 o'clock Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, with people from all over the world joining us from New Zealand and the Canary Islands and Great Britain and various other places. We're going to have a great conversation about international voiceover. You don't want to miss that. And it'll give you a nice break for your afternoon. Anyway, so that's going to do it for us tonight. I'm Dan Leonard, still freezing my tuchus off in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you.
Good night, y'all.